You're watching a High Wire Media podcast.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps show. As always, I'm your host, Louis Reese. And this week on Fatal Fandom, we dive into the murder of Selena Perez. Let me know your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. And with that, let's dive right in. The morning of March 31st, 1995 seemed ordinary in Corpus Christi, Texas. The sky was clear, the Gulf breeze warm, and in a modest motel near the shore, history was preparing to take a tragic turn. Selena Perez, known simply as Selena, was just 23 years old, but she had already become a legend. Beloved by millions, she had risen from humble beginnings to become the reigning queen of Tejano music. With crossover fame just within reach, her future sparkled with promise. But across the room from her stood a woman named Yolanda Saldivar, once a fan, later a close confidant, and now an embezzler on the edge of exposure. Their final confrontation was not a dramatic public showdown, but a quiet private reckoning behind a motel door. And within minutes, the vibrant voice that had brought so much joy to so many was silenced by a single bullet. This episode traces the intertwined paths of Selena and Yolanda, adoration to betrayal, from stardom to infamy. It's a narrative not only of a murder, but of trust exploited, fame endangered, and a community's irrevocable loss. This is the story of how one of the brightest lights in Latin music was extinguished, not by an outsider, but by someone from within her inner circle. It is a story about love, obsession, and the tragic cost of misplaced faith. Born in Lake Jackson, Texas on April 16, 1971, Selena Perez was the youngest child of Abraham and Marcella Quintanilla. Apologies for butchering the name. Music was woven into the fabric of her childhood. Her father, Abraham, was a former musician who recognized early on that his daughter possessed a remarkable gift. He formed a family band. Selena, the lead singer, alongside her brother AB on bass and sister Suzette on drums. What began as weekend performances at weddings and restaurants soon evolved into a full-time career. Despite being told she would never make it in the male-dominated Tejano genre, Selena forged ahead. Her energy on stage, crystal clear voice, and effortless charisma won over audiences. She wasn't just a singer, she was a performer, a style icon, and a cultural ambassador. Her albums solidified her place in music history. Selena's appeal extended beyond her sound. She connected with fans because she was real, bilingual, and bicultural. She embodied the Tex-Mex identity that so many Latinos in the U.S. recognized, but rarely saw reflected in the media. Offstage, she was warm, funny, and humble. She loved fast food, shopping in the mall, and playing with her pet chicken. To her fans, she wasn't a distant superstar. She was one of them. Her talent and relatability made her more than just a musician. She became a symbol of pride. In 1991, a woman named Yolanda Saldivar entered Selena's life. A registered nurse from San Antonio, Saldivar was a devoted fan who approached Abraham Quintanilla with a proposal to launch the official Selena fan club. Abraham, impressed by her initiative, approved the idea, and Yolanda was soon running the organization from her home. The fan club grew rapidly under her leadership, eventually reaching over 5,000 members. Saldivar was persistent in her devotion, attending concerts, organizing events, and maintaining frequent contact with Selena and her family. By all appearances, she was tireless and trustworthy. Her role expanded quickly. When Selena launched her fashion boutiques, Selena etc., Saldivar was appointed as manager. She now oversaw both the fan club and the boutiques, giving her direct access to financial operations and privileged relationships. To Selena, Yolanda was more than an employee. She was a friend. Selena often defended her when boutique staff complained about Yolanda's controlling behavior. Despite occasional concerns raised by employees, Selena continued to trust her. That trust became a blind spot. Over time, Yolanda's presence became more controlling. She inserted herself in every aspect of Selena's business and personal life. She presented herself as fiercely loyal, perhaps too loyal. She seemed to crave closeness and influence beyond what...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Her role required. But Selena, ever trusting and kind-hearted, saw only loyalty in Yolanda's devotion. What she didn't yet recognize was that this bond was far from usual. It was rooted in obsession. By late 1994, rumors about Yolanda Saldivar's conduct began surfacing more frequently. Employees at Selena etc. boutiques described as volatile and controlling. Some were reportedly fired for minor infractions, while others quit, citing hostile work environments. Fans who paid for merchandise or fan club items often complained that their orders never arrived. Selena's father, Abraham, who had always kept a watchful eye on his daughter's career, started investigating. What he found was alarming. Yolanda had embezzled thousands of dollars through forged checks and fraudulent bookkeeping. The boutique's finances were in disarray, and fan club funds had disappeared. Abraham, protective of Selena and their family business, confronted Yolanda with evidence of her misconduct. At first, she denied wrongdoing. Then she begged. She wept. She claimed misunderstandings. The facts were clear. Selena, however, remained conflicted. She felt betrayed, but still wanted to give Yolanda a chance to return missing financial documents, believing that recovering them might help clean up the mess. This decision put her at odds with her father, who urged her to cut Yolanda off entirely. Yet Selena, known for her compassion, may have wanted closure, or simply didn't believe her best friend would harm her. Selena made several attempts to retrieve the documents. Yolanda, however, stalled and delayed. Then, on the morning of March 31, 1995, she called Selena, saying she was ready to hand everything over. They agreed to meet at the Days Inn Motel. It would be their final meeting. That morning, Selena picked up Yolanda at the motel and took her to a hospital first. Yolanda claimed she had been raped in Mexico. Doctors found no evidence to support her claim. They returned to the motel, and inside room 158, tensions finally reached their breaking point. Selena confronted Yolanda, demanded the documents, and told her that their relationship was over. Witnesses later described hearing a heated argument. Then at approximately 11:48 a.m., a single gunshot echoed through the hallway. Selena, bleeding profusely from a wound to her right shoulder, fled the room, leaving a trail of blood. She collapsed in the motel lobby and identified her shooter with chilling clarity. Yolanda, room 158. Despite being rushed to the hospital, Selena was pronounced dead at 1:05 p.m. The bullet had severed a major artery, causing massive blood loss. The news rippled across Texas in shockwaves. The beloved star was gone, not in a car accident, not due to illness, but murdered by someone she had trusted. Back in the motel parking lot, Yolanda locked herself in her pickup truck, gun still in hand. A tense standoff with police ensued. Over 9 hours, she threatened suicide, pleaded her case, and finally surrendered. She was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, but the damage was done. A generation lost its icon, and the world lost a voice it could never replace. The death of Selena shocked the Latin American community to its cores. News outlets interrupted regular programming. Radio stations played her music around the clock. Thousands gathered outside the motel and at her family home. In Houston, Los Angeles, and Mexico City, spontaneous vigils emerged. Fans wept openly, lighting candles, holding photos, and singing her songs. Selena had not only been a singer, she was a cultural mirror. Her death felt deeply personal. To Mexican Americans and Latinos across the United States, she represented more than entertainment. She was the embodiment of identity and pride. She had achieved the American dream while staying true to her roots. Governor George W. Bush declared April 16th, Selena's birthday, as Selena's Day in Texas. Her funeral drew tens of thousands. Some mourners drove across state lines just to say goodbye. Over 60,000 people paid their respects at a public viewing of her casket at the Bayfront Auditorium. Reporters described the atmosphere as a mix of grief and disbelief. Similar to the mourning seen after the deaths of John Lennon or Princess Diana. In death, Selena became a symbol. Her youth, talent, and tragic end turned her into an icon forever. Into an icon forever, frozen in time, at 23, radiant and full of promise. But for her family and fans, the pain was immediate and raw. A light had gone out, and it had not dimmed naturally. It had been extinguished by someone who once claimed to love her most. Yolanda Saldivar's trial began on October 9, 1995 in Houston, after a change of venue due to overwhelming publicity in Corpus Christi. Prosecutors presented a clear motive: fear of exposure and loss of status. Saldivar, cornered by embezzlement charges and about to be cut off by Selena, chose to end the relationship violently. The defense claimed the shooting was accidental. They argued Saldivar had intended to kill herself in front of Selena and that the gun discharged when Selena tried to intervene. But this version of events was contradicted by forensic evidence, witness testimonies, and most importantly, Selena's own final words. Selena had been shot in the back while trying to leave. There were no signs of struggle. Furthermore, Yolanda had not called 911 or attempted to help. She had let Selena bleed out, locked herself in a truck, and prolonged the crisis for hours. Prosecution called this behavior evidence of guilt, not remorse. After 2 weeks of testimony, the jury deliberated for less than 3 hours. On October 23rd, Saldivar was found guilty of first-degree murder. She was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 30 years, the maximum penalty under Texas law. She remains incarcerated to this day. For many, the trial offered some measure of justice, but no sentence could undo the loss. Selena's family expressed relief, but their grief remained. The legal process had ended, but the emotional wounds would never fully heal. Selena's death catapulted her into the realm of cultural mythology. Almost instantly, she became more than a singer. She became a symbol of lost potential, artistic excellence, and Latina empowerment. The posthumous release of her crossover album, Dreaming of You, debuted at number one on the Billboard 200, the first Spanish-language album to do so. Hollywood soon took notice. In 1997, the biographical film Selena, directed by Gregory Nava and starring Jennifer Lopez, brought her story to millions more. The film was a commercial success and is credited with launching Lopez's career. More importantly, it introduced Selena to audiences who hadn't known her during her lifetime, ensuring her legacy continued to grow. Documentaries, tribute albums, and biopics followed, from Behind the Music specials to Netflix's dramatized series, Selena, the Series, in 2020. Her story has been retold many times, each retelling further cements her status, not just as a victim, but as voice silenced too soon. In media portrayals, Yolanda Saldivar became the embodiment of betrayal. Often depicted as jealous and manipulative, her character served as a foil to Selena's innocence. While the framing is dramatically effective, it also reflects a deeper cultural need to understand how something so tragic could happen and to assign clear moral boundaries between victim and perpetrator. Selena's mythos lives not in her death, but in the celebration of her life. Yet the media, in chronicling the story, ensures that both the glory and the grief remain etched in public memory. Selena's impact has continued to resonate for decades, not just through her music, but in the cultural and academic spheres. Her life and legacy have become the subject of university courses, feminist critiques, and sociological research. Scholars examine her as a figure who defied both gender expectations and racial marginalization. As a bicultural icon, she symbolized, I'm going to butcher this, and apologies, that mestiza identity straddling Mexican and American worlds with grace and pride. The tragedy of her murder prompted discussions about the nature of fame, particularly among women of color. It also sparked wider debates on security, fan culture, and exploitation. Unlike other celebrity deaths caused by overdose or car crashes, Selena's death was interpersonal. It highlighted how the boundaries between professional, personal, and parasocial relationships can dangerously blur. Her legacy can be seen in art, fashion, and activism. Murals bearing her image adorn walls from LA to Houston. Her signature look, bold red lipstick, rhinestone, and high-waisted pants have been adopted by designers and fans alike. In 2016, MAC Cosmetics released a Selena-themed makeup line that sold out instantly. More than just an entertainer, Selena has become a figure of empowerment. Young Latinas, especially, continue to look up to her as a role model. Her story is taught as both an inspiration and a warning. Though she was silenced, her message of pride, resilience, and self-expression still speaks loudly. The world may have lost Selena, but her spirit never left. Selena's family has worked tirelessly to preserve her memory. The Selena Museum, established in Corpus Christi, holds costumes, awards, and personal items from her life. Her estate continues to release remastered albums and merchandise. Her father, Abraham, has published memoirs, while her sister and husband have contributed to public remembrance through interviews and advocacy. The story has also shaped how future artists and fans approach fame and intimacy. Musicians from Beyoncé to Cardi B have cited Selena as an influence. Her legacy opened doors for Latin music in the U.S., paving the way for artists like J.Lo and Bad Bunny. Without Selena, the mainstreaming of Latin pop might have arrived much later, if at all. Despite their efforts, the family has also faced criticism. Some argue that the commercialization of Selena's legacy has occasionally crossed into exploitation. Yet the intention has always been to honor her, to ensure she is not reduced solely to a tragic headline. On the other side of the legacy looms Yolanda Saldivar. As her parole eligibility in 2025 approached, petitions and protests against her release grew. The public memory remains sharp. For millions, forgiveness may be possible, but forgetting is not. Selena's life, cut short by betrayal, continues to echo because it never truly ended. Her music still sung, her image still celebrated, her story still shared. In many ways, she remains alive in voices, in hearts, and in history. Selena's final words, Yolanda, Room 158, have haunted history for three decades. But beyond that chilling detail lies a far greater legacy. The story of a young woman who reached unimaginable heights and lifted an entire community with her. Selena's life was filled with purpose, love, and authenticity. Her death, though senseless, did not erase that. Every anniversary of her passing brings renewed tributes and reflections. Her voice, captured in songs, continues to bring joy. Her presence, once confined to Texas stages, now fills international arenas, digital playlists, and cultural consciousness. The bullet that ended Selena's life cannot silence her voice. Yolanda Saldivar may have taken her physically, but in spirit, Selena lives. In laughter and dance and dreamers chasing impossible dreams, her essence endures. So we remember not the act of violence, but the life that radiated love. Selena Perez, daughter, sister, icon, queen. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsor for this episode, and that is NordVPN. This episode is brought to you by NordVPN, the best way to stay safe and private online. Look, we all spend way too much time on the internet, whether it's researching for true crime cases, streaming shows, or just mindlessly scrolling late at night. But here's the thing. Without protection, your data, your location, and even your identity are basically out in the open. And that's where NordVPN comes in. With just one click, NordVPN hides your IP address, encrypts your connection, keeps hackers, snoops, and advertisers out of your business. You can even connect to servers in over 60 countries, which means you can access shows, documentaries, and content that aren't available in your region. Personally, I use NordVPN whenever I travel or log onto public Wi-Fi. Because let's be real, airport Wi-Fi is basically an open door for anyone with bad intentions. And right now, NordVPN has an exclusive deal for our listeners and viewers of this show. Use the link in the description today and get 77% off and 3 free months. And you get a 30-day money-back guarantee. So stay safe, stay private, and stream without limits. Thank you to NordVPN for sponsoring this episode. And with that, let me know your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. Give us a thumbs up if you like our videos. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.